Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Time check in our studios is 5 minutes past eight. A very good morning to you all, wherever you listen to us. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany. Coming up on this edition of Africa Link, the UN mission in DRC, MONUSCO, withdraws its support from a joint operation with the Congolese army.
We waited a long time. We had 6 months voluntary disarmament process. This was over on the 2nd of January. Now it's February. It has to start. Equally, we have another objective. This is the respect for human rights.
As South Africa's President Jacob Zuma prepares to give the State of Nation address today, this university student has this plea.
President Zuma, just please provide a way for us to know how to access the information in which we're going to be getting the employment or having means to actually sustain ourselves and ways to go about it.
We shall also be hearing from UNICEF about the drive to free child soldiers. Welcome to the program.
Top story.
We begin in the DRC, where the UN mission MONUSCO has suspended its support for a joint operation with the Congolese army. MONUSCO and government troops were preparing an operation against the FDLR rebels operating the eastern part of the country. The decision comes after the Congolese government failed to recall two generals from the UN accused of human rights abuses during army operations. Lambert Mende, the DRC's foreign minister, downplayed the incident, saying his country was not under anyone's supervision. Susan Holton has this report compiled by Patrice Chitera.
The two generals that the UN says should be withdrawn from the chain of command against the FDLR rebels are Fal Sikambwe, the army commander of the eastern North Kivu province, and Bruno Mandevu, the operations commander against FDLR. The UN also cited the delay by DR Congo President Joseph Kabila to sign a document approving the joint operation between the army and the UN troops as another reason for suspending its support. At a press conference in Kinshasa earlier this week, the special representative of the UN Secretary-General in the DRC, Martin Kobler, told reporters that the decision is intended to make sure that human rights are respected during operations.
We waited a lot. We waited a long time. We had 6 months voluntary disarmament process. This was over on the 2nd of January. Now it's already the 11th of February. It has to start. Equally, we have another objective. This is the respect for human rights, and this is the respect for the implementation of the due diligence policy of the United Nations. This means that we want to support the government, but we must make sure that it does not endanger the operation.
In a separate press briefing, the DRC government spokesperson Lambert Mende said that the government will not bow down to deadlines, and he advised the UN to share information on the alleged wrongdoings of the two officers in question.
I don't think the word ultimatum features here. If the UN has some information on army officers, we will look into it and then decide. That is not an order the UN is giving us. It's information sharing. For the moment, those officers have been appointed and are the ones doing the job.
For his part, the U.S. Special Envoy to the Great Lakes region, Russell Feingold, expressed disappointment that until now operations to neutralize the FDLR rebels have not taken place.
We were somewhat encouraged by the DRC government's announcement of operations against the FDLR, but since have become somewhat disappointed that kinetic action has still not actually begun.
The Congolese army had named January the 29th as the day it would launch an offensive against the FDLR Hutu rebels, but until now there has been no action on the ground. Some of the leaders of the rebel group are accused of taking part in the 1994 Rwandan genocide.
Susan Holton presented that report. To find out more about the implications of MONUSCO's decision to dislodge FDLR rebels from Eastern DRC, I spoke to Phil Clark, an expert on the Great Lakes region at SOAS, University of London.
This is a major problem, I think, for this UN peacekeeping mission. in that the Congolese army is unlikely to succeed in its campaign against the FDLR rebels if it doesn't have a UN support. So it would be very difficult to see this campaign going ahead if the UN, in fact, withdraws its support altogether. And I think that is a major problem in terms of tackling the FDLR rebel group. But this is also a problem in the region as a whole. It sends a message to Rwanda in particular that the UN perhaps is not dedicated to this mission. Rwanda has been very suspicious for a long time that the South African and Tanzanian troops within the UN forces are not dedicated to tackling FDLR. And so this latest delay, I think, will only increase that skepticism and that suspicion in Kigali.
Now, with the absence of MONUSCO's support, isn't the situation also likely to deteriorate in eastern Congo?
Yes, I think even in the last week or two, we've seen a fairly drastic deterioration, especially in North Kivu and in parts of South Kivu and Ituri, that there's been a recent escalation by various rebel groups there. And we've also seen increased military activity by the FDLR itself. So this pause by the UN in tackling FDLR, I think, comes at a very unfortunate time. It comes at a time when the Congolese population are once again looking to their armed forces and looking to the UN for some sort of protection, and this latest message, I think, suggests that in fact they won't get that.
A recent report by the UN group of experts accused the Congolese army of close ties with the FDLR in a sense that they do business together, like dealing in charcoal minerals and also supply the rebels with arms and other logistics. Doesn't this compromise the army's ability to take on the rebels?
This is a great concern, and I think it's another reason why we're not going to see an effective campaign against the FDLR unless the UN is involved. The Congolese army, left to its own devices, has a long history of supporting the FDLR, of being embedded in economic networks with the FDLR. Without the UN in the background pushing the Congolese armed forces, it's unlikely that we're going to see the FDLR dealt with. But this also highlights, I think, another major problem, and it's a problem for the UN, which is it can only operate in Congo in cooperation with the national army and with the national government. And this is a national army and a government that has very serious criminal elements. And so the UN is caught in a very difficult bind of needing to run a peacekeeping mission and to protect civilians, but having to coordinate with a very criminal national army in the process.
I was speaking to Phil Clark from SOAS, the University of London.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
And you are still listening to Africa Link from DW Studios here in Bonn, Germany. Now, innocent victims but brutal killers, that's how one can describe child soldiers. There are an estimated 300,000 of them worldwide. The UN aims to stop recruitment of child soldiers by the year 2016. To find out more, I spoke to Dune Porter, UNICEF's Chief of Strategic Communications in South Sudan.
We have been working on this issue in South Sudan for many years, and it has to be said that we had been making great progress. The National Army, the Sudan People's Liberation Army, or the FPLA, had made an enormous amount of progress in eliminating children from its forces and in not recruiting children. We had that number down to about 500 children in the ranks of the FPLA before the conflict broke out in South Sudan in December 2013. And since then, I'm afraid to say that all the progress that we had made has been rather dramatically reversed. We are looking at overall in South Sudan, by both sides in the current conflict, more than 12,000 children are being used by armed forces and armed groups in this ongoing conflict.
And how does UNICEF help these former child soldiers reintegrate into normal life?
UNICEF is working with our partners on the ground to provide for these children in many ways. First of all, directly through supporting shelter at interim care centers, clothing, food and water, health care, the absolute basics, but also on top of that, very importantly, psychosocial support. Many of these children have not only witnessed but taken part in events and actions that would be traumatic for adults. I have to say that the children were most excited about the idea of education. Most of these children have not had any schooling at all.
What kind of stories do these children tell you when you meet them?
Obviously, some of them, you know, the children who had been involved in fighting, they had some quite traumatic stories to tell. Many of them talked about the fatigue. You know, these are children ranging from 11, one or two even younger, up to 17, who are out there going on missions with adult soldiers. In many cases, they had to walk for days carrying heavy equipment. They were truly exhausted.
What has the international community done to stop the recruitment or conscription, if you will, of child soldiers into army ranks?
The UN has launched a campaign called Children Not Soldiers, and that really highlights the plight of children. There are 8 national security forces who are listed by the Secretary General continuing to use children in armed conflict, as well as naming and shaming. Of course, the United Nations is there to support the ending of using children as soldiers, using children in armed groups. And the support that the UN gives includes technical expertise, identifying the gaps and challenges to implementing action plans that have been set up in the various countries.
I was speaking to Dune Polter from UNICEF in South Sudan. Now, what's the state of the South African nation? In a few hours from now, that question will be answered by none other than the President of the Republic of South Africa, Jacob Zuma. This is in case Julius Malema, the leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters, EFF, does not interrupt his address. South Africa has been plagued with rising unemployment, corruption scandals, and only last year it was overtaken by Nigeria as Africa's biggest economy. Anyway, let's hear from our only Subri Govenda.
President Jacob Zuma and his ruling ANC government have taken extraordinary measures to ensure that his State of the Nation address is seen by as many people as possible throughout the length and breadth of the country. The government's Department of Communications has set up large television screens in schools and other centers to reach people mainly in the rural areas. The address is not expected to contain any surprises. It will be the usual mix of praise for the government's achievements and an indication of plans for the future, such as improving social services, especially in the health and educational sectors. But this will not be enough for the large section of the population that feels disappointed and disillusioned by the government's performance.
President Zuma, just please provide a way for us to know how to access the information in which we're going to be getting the employment or having means to actually sustain ourselves and ways to go about it.
That's 27-year-old Tembi Vandau, who is studying for her master's in law at the University of KwaZulu-Natal and who wants an assurance that she will get a job once she qualifies. Unemployment is currently around 24%. Nomzamo Zondi is a 25-year-old public relations consultant. She confirms that young people want to hear some clear answers in this evening's State of the Nation address.
There are young people who are actually very fed up, who have lost hope in the government being able to assist us.
Other ordinary taxpaying South Africans want Zuma to provide answers for other social issues, such as power outages, violent crime, and corruption. Political science lecturer Dr. Becky Mungomozulu is worried that more and more people are becoming restless. He says Zuma must demonstrate that he's in control.
Some of the issues have to do with him as a person, that there are people who are saying that he's not fit for office. As a result, some opposition parties are even saying that there must be a vote of confidence on the president.
Zuma and his ministers say they have plans for the economic upliftment of the previously disadvantaged and are not concerned about threats by the leader of the opposition, Economic Freedom Fighters, Julius Malema, and his fellow MPs to disrupt the State of the Nation address. South Africans at large would prefer the speech to go ahead without interruption. They want to hear how Zuma plans to improve their lives rather than be distracted by what they call the antics of Malema and his followers.
That was Subri Govenda in South Africa with that report about Jacob Zuma's State of Nation address.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello, everybody. It's time for the next episode of our radio series, Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation. Our future starts today.
19-year-old Dan came back to Kisimba to make peace with his ex-girlfriend Mercy, but she didn't want to talk to him. The reason is that Mercy got pregnant with Dan's child in high school. And then when their daughter Linda was born 3 years ago, Dan took off. He came back just recently, but he's already lost his job on a building site and he's struggling to find a new one. The fact that Mercy has another man's child has been causing some trouble in her relationship with her boyfriend, Nikki. To distract herself, she went out with her friend Tina, who persuaded her to try and drive the car on the way back.
Ah, I'm doing it! I'm driving! This is fine!
Hey! You're right. Watch the road! Stay on this side!
Oh dear!
The brake! The brake! Stop on the brake!
The police arrested Mercy for drunk driving and for driving without a license. Mercy's mother Lulu was furious when she found out. And that's not the only thing troubling Lulu. Her husband, Msoto, has become a follower of a certain King Karubu and is now trying to pass his belief onto their sons, Mercy's younger brothers.
I thought I'd stop by on my way into town. I'm going to pray and I'd like to take my boys with me.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm coming. Can I go, Mom? Please?
We meet up with Msoto again as we start this 17th episode entitled, I Love Your Daughter.
Ben! Hey, Ben! Open up! Open!
Hey, easy on the door!
Msoto, boss, what is it? Come in before you break down my door. What do you want? I thought our next King Karubu performance was until tomorrow.
It isn't, but I need money now. Where's the share I gave you after our last public killing in the name of King Karubu?
Why?
I got a call from my wife. My daughter is in trouble and I need money.
What kind of trouble?
Never mind. Come on, just give it to me.
But you already took your share, Msoto. This is mine.
Yes, but now I want it back. I'm your boss, remember?
That doesn't mean you can take it all, Msoto. I thought we were partners.
We are partners. I'm just the senior partner. And making money with King Karubu was my idea.
That's not fair. I always have to play the disabled man whenever we go out to perform.
I told you, my daughter is in trouble and I need that money just for today. Can't you understand that, Ben?
I can understand a lot of things, Msoto. What I can't understand is you busting in here uninvited and demanding that I hand over my hard-earned money.
So are you going to give it to me or not?
No!
Well, then you're fired.
Fired? I'm the best fake cripple there is. You need me for our healings. You can't fire a self-employed conman.
I just did. And I already have a new partner, my son Banda. And I think he'll be happy to work with me on behalf of King Karubu.
Fine. We'll see how your business goes without me.
Are you the one who wants to see Masim Soto?
Yes, please.
My colleague went down to the cells to fetch her. Here she comes.
Nikki? What are you doing here?
Hi, Mercy. Hey, you look terrible. Have they been treating you well?
I'm fine, Nikki. How did you...
Tina told me.
Oh.
Mercy, when did you start drinking? And why?
Oh, great. Why is everyone asking me that question?
I'm concerned.
Who are you? My mother?
No, but I'm someone who happens to know about the damage alcohol and drugs can do to you. From my own experience.
If you just came here to annoy me, go away and leave me alone.
Why are you behaving like this? Are you still angry because of what my mother said?
Officer, take me back to my cell. I'm done.
Mercy, wait. I came here to help you.
Hey, young man, come back later. She said she doesn't want to talk.
Wow. This rain is really heavy. I should take advantage of the weather and put my water containers outside.
Help!
What was that? Dan Kanyama, I think you're starting to imagine things.
Help!
No. There is definitely someone there. I need to check. Where are you? I can't see you.
Oh,
no. Are you hurt?
I think I twisted my...
Oh, oh, oh. Let me help you. Oh, slowly. Slowly. How did you end up in here?
I'm old, young man. My eyes aren't so good, especially when it rains. And the ground is so slippery.
Oh, where do you live? Can I take you home?
You're very kind. I don't live far from here.
Here. Lean on me. I will take you home.
Don't you have work to do? I don't want to rob you of your time in the middle of the day.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that. I've been looking for work for a very long time. I reckon I can take a few minutes off.
Oh, thank you, young man. What's your name?
Dan.
And what kind of work are you looking for? Ouch.
Oh, I will tell you on the way. Come on, let's go.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh, you're so kind, Dan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hello? Lulu Msoto speaking.
Hello! Lulu, my wife. He won't win. I promise he won't win. You'll see.
Who won't win?
Mukaraba. He's our enemy number one.
What are you talking about? Are you drunk again, Msoto?
No. Msoto doesn't drink anymore. But I'm telling you, he won't win.
Msoto, I don't understand what you're talking about. What's all this nonsense? I told you, she got into this trouble all by herself, just like you used to. Have you seen her?
Not yet. I was busy, but tomorrow I will go.
Did you at least save her some money for bail like you promised?
No, I was unlucky today. I'm completely moneyless.
But you are lucky enough to find money for your beloved bottle.
Please, my wife.
I'm not your wife. Go tell that to the bottle you're always fondling. I don't have time for this. I have work to do. Unbelievable.
Hello, Mama Mercy.
Oh, it's you, Nikki. Hello. What are you doing here?
I came to talk to you about Mercy.
Mercy's not here. What about her?
I know. She's at the police station.
I know. And they want a lot of money for bail. I don't have that kind of money.
That's why I came to see you. I have some money saved up, and I was wondering if you would take it. Just don't tell her it's from me.
Why not?
We're not the best of friends right now. And if she knows it came from me, she might not accept it.
If my daughter doesn't want it, then I don't want it. We don't want your charity.
Mama Mercy, please. I love your daughter. There was just a slight misunderstanding, which I hope we can resolve very soon.
Okay, I will take it. Because I know that you've always stood by her side. But on one condition.
What?
That you let me pay you back when I have the money.
Of course. Anything, just as long as she gets out of that awful place. Here.
Wow, this is a lot. Thank you, Nikki. It's very good of you.
I have to go now. How's her daughter, little Linda?
She's fine. Thanks for asking.
Good. Bye, Mama Mercy.
Bye.
Mercy's mother is relieved. But what will Mercy think? Will she find out who provided the money for her bail? And how is Dan's story going to continue after he saved that old woman in the rainy Tandika slum? Find out next time on Crossroads Generation. And don't forget to check out our webpage at dw.de/LBE. Bye for now.
And before we call it a day, we'd like to apologize for a mistake on a story aired yesterday. We wish to correct that rebels expelled from Kampala by the Ugandan government are from Sudan, not from South Sudan, as was reported. Remember, you can get more of the stories by visiting our website, dw.de/Africa. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany, wishing you a splendid day ahead.